A Pacific delegation, including Australia's Foreign Minister Bob Carr, says Fiji is making progress towards holding elections in 2014. But it says major issues like freedom of assembly and freedom of speech in Fiji still need to be addressed. Members of the Pacific Forum Ministerial Contact Group met yesterday in the Fijian capital, Suva. They were given assurances that the poll in 2014 would be free and fair and that all Fijians would be allowed to stand for office. ABC correspondent Dominique Schwartz has been covering the meeting. She joins you now from Suva. Dominique, welcome again to Breakfast.
Thank you, Fran.
Positive progress towards holding elections in 2014. What are the signs that Fiji will honour that promise to have free and fair elections then?
Well, I suppose the first thing is that Commodore Bainimarama, the interim Prime Minister, has said he will be holding elections in 2014, and there are steps now being taken. There's been a constitutional process put in place as well to try and draft a new constitution. The 1997 constitution was abrogated after the High Court of Appeal ruled that the coup was invalid. So the interim Prime Minister argues that they need a new constitution. There is debate, as always, about things in Fiji, and some people say they should just return to the 1997 constitution. But I suppose if what's printed makes something look like it's concrete, apparently there's a whole lot of information which has been printed. The government is about to start on a public education campaign about the whole constitutional and electoral reforms, and then hopes to really get underway with getting people involved in it. Now, these are, of course, the assurances, and really, at the moment, that is what the Pacific Islands Forum Ministerial Contact Group says. They have been given commitments now from not only the interim Prime Minister but other members of the interim government saying that this is what they are going to do. They've been given assurances in their meetings yesterday that it will be a case of one person, one vote, one value, that there will be no media restrictions in relation to covering these things, that the elections will be free and fair. And the chair of that group, New Zealand Foreign Minister Murray McCulley, said that they've been given the assurances, they're taking them in good faith and on face value, but now what will happen is they will assess what happens on the ground according to those commitments.
It's significant, isn't it, Dominique, that people like Murray McCulley, the New Zealand Foreign Minister, and Australia's Foreign Minister Bob Carr are prepared to join in this decision to take this on face value, because they've been two of the harshest critics of Fiji's military dictatorship. And I'm just wondering what you make of that. Are they really persuaded? Because I notice there's also some concerns over issues like freedom of assembly and freedom of speech, which are pretty basic commitments in terms of heading towards a free and fair election.
Yes, and there are definitely still concerns about that. Senator Carr, of course, is new to the post of Foreign Minister, and he was over in New Zealand even before he'd actually been officially sworn in as Senator and Foreign Minister. So his first port of call was to visit New Zealand and to catch up with Murray McCulley. Now, Australia and New Zealand do try to have a very unified position on Fiji. But it's interesting because Murray McCulley has been talking for some time about the need to engage with Fiji. And I think that he really has been pushing that along. But it is definitely significant that they are here. It's been more than 3 years since this group has come to Fiji and had direct dialogue with the interim government. So that is good. But there are still serious concerns about the freedom of assembly and freedom of the media. Before we maybe go on to that, I think one of the reasons pushing this is China's increasing influence in the Pacific. I think, you know, as a background to this, that's very important. And indeed, in the welcoming speech, when they had a cocktail reception the other evening, they were told by Fiji's foreign minister that since they were suspended from the Pacific Islands Forum, Fiji had developed into a strong and independent nation and had made good friends in the north, uh-huh, who understood what they were doing. So it was a very pointed reference to the fact that they have good relations with others. And the United States has been really trying to step up its presence in the Pacific and its influence again. So I think as a context, you can look at this re-engagement, if you like, with that as a background.
According to your report on the television news last night, there was a few pointed exchanges between Fiji's foreign minister and our foreign minister, Bob Carr, who had said before, even before he went to Suva, Australia had no plans to relax sanctions against Fiji. How did that go down in Suva?
Well, not particularly well with Ayaz Sayed Kayum, who is the Attorney General, and in the context of yesterday's meeting was acting as the Prime Minister because Frank Bainimarama is overseas. They had a 25-minute meeting, the ministers, with Mr. Sayed Kayum, and at the end of that, he called a press conference, and he had a list of criticisms. Really, he started by saying that the Aussie and the Kiwi ministers had walked in late, a claim that Bob Carr denies. I think he came in from memory. I think he was kind of around about the middle of the pack or so when he turned up. he also said that he thought that Senator Carr came with a certain mindset, that he had already made up his mind on sanctions. He didn't think on bringing up the topic, and the Attorney General didn't think that that was a good way to be approaching the talk. Uh-huh. The other thing he was very disappointed about, he said, was that he thought that the people outside of government with whom the ministers were going to be meeting were not inclusive, that they didn't include people maybe who, the suggestion was, who shared a bit more of the government's view of things.
And talk about disappointment. Were the committee members, were the ministers there, the members of this contact group, were they disappointed that Frank Bainimarama was out of the country? I mean, given, as you say, the influence to their north, the influence of China, and given that Bainimarama clearly is the person who has control there in Fiji, isn't it critical that any agreements or assurances need to come with his personal endorsement?
Well, I suppose they've... it's interesting, I did ask that question of several of the ministers. Murray McCulley, the New Zealand foreign minister, said that basically they were trying to coordinate the agendas of so many high-level people that this was the best opportunity for them to all be able to come. So I suppose, you know, we have to take that as value. I imagine they would have liked to have met with Frank Bainimarama. However, they, of course, are saying, well, look, you know, we've met with senior members. They're speaking for him. You know, Frank Bainimarama has given his guarantees, and these meetings are usually at a foreign minister level. So that was the spin they put on it.
And just finally, Dominique, as you've mentioned already, the committee were allowed to meet with some of Bainimarama's most vehement critics, including ousted Prime Minister Lassini Ngarase. But what sense did you get as you moved around Suva about life for people under the Bainimarama regime? Are people willing to talk? Is there a sense of freedom of thought and speech at all? And what about the racial tensions?
Yeah, well, the racial tensions are a concern to many people, particularly those who have worked in those areas. The former editor of the Fiji Times, Netani Rika, I had quite a long conversation with him. He doesn't believe there's any freedom of the media at the moment. He said the censors are gone from the newsroom, but there's journalists are basically still second-guessing themselves. I spoke with Felix Anthony, who's the head of the Trade Union Congress here. He's spent several times in prison. He's been detained. He's been beaten. And he says that as far as he's concerned, he didn't say it because if he said it, he could be charged with treason. But he said, but he basically indicated that he doesn't want to see sanctions lifted. He wants to see them actually stepped up. He thinks that would be useful. But when you're talking with people around town, you get varying views. But most people say, oh, you know, it's okay. You know, some people might talk about the fact that they want to have a job. Mm-hmm. It's hard for a lot of people economically. But one thing that was quite interesting, when I was at this cocktail reception for the ministers, I managed to speak to a number of people there, and there's one woman there, Shamima Ali, who's been quite a vocal critic against the Bainimarama regime. She's worked a lot with women. And she said, since the 2006 coup, this was the very first time she'd ever come to a government reception because she felt there was now at least the real possibility of change.
Right.
And I thought that was quite interesting.
Dominique, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Been a pleasure, Fran.
Dominique Schwartz, she's the ABC's correspondent in New Zealand and the South Pacific. She's in Fiji for the meeting in Suva of the Pacific Forum Ministerial Contact Group.